Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Jameis Winston is now the newest member of the New York Giants. And to me, it is the beginning of an amazing season for the New York Giants. Because no matter what happens, you at least have an entertaining quarterback. Someone who's going to throw the ball deep, throw the ball often. It's going to be exciting no matter what. There's no more of questioning the quarterback and, oh, why can't you go deep? Why can't you, you know, look at this guy, look for someone down the field? Can you open the playbook? Can you find a way to really pick up the pace of the scoring? And you have Jameis Winston. Now, whether or not he's a starting quarterback or not, we don't know. There's still plenty. Listen, at the end of the day, Jameis Winston is a great backup quarterback. The contract itself even says it's not really a starting quarterback salary. So Jameis Winston is coming in here with a I have to win this job type of mentality. He has to. But it is a fantastic move by the New York Giants because you're going to be entertained. And that is the key here for the New York Giants. It's how exciting can this team be? Because for the longest time, the New York Giants have not been exciting on offense. There was a few stints. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, when he touched the ball, yes, brought excitement to the team. Malik Nabers now catching the ball. It's exciting. But you finally have someone who can open up and throw the ball deep. That is going to be exciting. Now, is that the be-all, end-all? Like I said, this is not a guarantee that Jameis Winston's starting quarterback. No doubt about it. Like, he's coming in. He's going to have to earn that job. Is it going to be a starting? Are they going to draft a quarterback? Is now this a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? Or is it still a bring in Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson, as well as drafting a quarterback, but you have more time, you have more wiggle room? I think that the latter is the best way to go. I think that Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson work out fine in this system right now with Brian Daboll. You still have, because they do need to win. They need to win games. There's no doubt about it. Like, Brian Daboll, in order to come back for another year after, he needs to start winning games. But you've put yourself in a situation where Jameis Winston can do that offensively. Because in the past few years, how many times did you feel that the Giants, went with Daniel Jones, getting the ball late in games? First of all, they have to be a tight game. You know, if the defense holds up, they have to be in a tight game to do it. But how many times did you feel Daniel Jones getting the ball and going down the field and winning a game? It just didn't feel likely. It didn't feel like there was that opportunity. If it was Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, you didn't feel, Tyrod Taylor, you didn't feel like the Giants had a quarterback who could put their, you know, get the ball and put the ball downfield and help win games. I'm not telling you Jameis Winston is going to win games for the Giants, but you have a dream. You have someone who's going to be a leader. You have someone who's going to be a veteran presence, someone who's going to go out there and be kind of entertaining. Like, I mean, the one thing that I love about Jameis Winston on top of his skill set is he's entertaining. No one could deny it. His post-game conferences are fantastic. So, listen, Jameis Winston is not a perfect quarterback, but right now, there is none. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Russell Wilson, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, go down the list. Right now, there's no perfect quarterbacks. So why not bring in a Jameis Winston no matter what and piggyback him with the other quarterbacks? It's perfect. And here's the good thing, right? Say you do get an Aaron Rodgers. Say you do get, you nail that, right? Aaron Rodgers, who was in Pittsburgh yesterday, who left without a contract, so anything is open. Anything is available. You do bring in Aaron Rodgers. He decides he wants to play for the New York Giants. And it's Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston, and Shedeur Sanders. Just imagine those three of those combos right there, okay? You have the veteran who is going to take the ball and hopefully show glimpses of that Hall of Fame career on the field. But say he gets hurt within the first four snaps. You have Jameis Winston to go in there and show or prove that he can still be a quarterback in this league and go out there and still be effective, because he's been effective. Now, he's not great, but he's been effective. And he can still show the young quarterback the way of the NFL. And that's the whole key here, is bring in enough quarterbacks to mold the future. So I love this move. I truly love this move. Again, this is not about Jameis Winston. This is not about, oh, I smell a championship with the Giants. I'm not saying that at all. But it's going to be entertaining, and it's going to lead to productivity. It's going to lead to success, because you're bringing in Jameis Winston as a backup plan to whichever quarterback you're leading with whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, and they both can help mold your rookie quarterback. The other option is, hey, Jameis Winston is going to be the starter for a few weeks until he hands it off to, you know, Shedeur or Cam Ward. And again, with the Jameis Winston move, it makes me feel more and more, if they don't get Aaron Rodgers or don't get Russell Wilson, that's what they're going to do, that they're going to draft a quarterback with their third pick. That leads to me that the third pick is going to be quarterback, because if you don't get Aaron Rodgers and you don't get Russell Wilson, the win now mode kind of falls flat. Jameis Winston, no matter how much I love the guy, no matter how entertaining he is, not really a winner, right? He's going to be entertaining. Maybe he'll luck you into some games. Maybe he'll win, you know, maybe there'll be a little bit of winning, but it's not like playoff bound. But if you get Jameis Winston and no other top-end quarterback, you're pretty much planning to hand the keys over to the young kid that you draft sooner than later. And that means you're not moving, you may move up to that number one pick, but you're not moving back, and you're not like hanging on, oh, well, Jackson Dart may be there later on and we'll go get him. No, you're looking, you're going to be aggressive, and you're getting Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. So there's two paths here, but Jameis Winston is a piece to this puzzle, and I love it. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's not. I'll tell you this much right now, and I love the Justin Fields move for the Jets, but entertainment value, I'm going to have more fun watching Jameis Winston play quarterback for the Giants than Justin Fields with the Jets. Like, they may win more with the Jets, but Jameis Winston, if he ended up being, again, he's not, but if he was to start all 17 games, he'd be more entertaining to watch than Justin Fields. He's a fun quarterback. He really is. And it's not supposed to be, oh, well, let's have fun. Let's have a fun season. But let's be honest. If you've been a Giant fan for, you know, the past decade, there's been very few fun things to look at. There's been very few things that you could put your, you know, hold your head up and be like, that was awesome. You know, last year, watching Malik Nabers play some games and perform well was cool. Like I said, Saquon Barkley, over the years, he's had some moments where you just sit back and go, wow, he is a special player. Obviously, he won a Super Bowl last year with the Eagles, so we know how special he can be. But quarterback-wise, I mean, we haven't seen somebody just take over. And, you know, besides the Arizona game 2 years ago, when Daniel Jones, like, after being down that first half, was miserable, played horrible football. And the Giants played horrible football. And then in the last half, you know, scored like, you know, I think he threw three or four touchdowns, whatever it was, and they ended up beating the Arizona Cardinals. I think it was like 31 or 28 or whatever the case was. But they put on a show for a half. They put on a show for a half. And offensively, the Giants need something to spark, need something to kind of get the fans excited. It's been a long time. So at the very least, Jameis Winston is here and could bring some level of excitement. Again, is he going to be someone to win you games? I don't know. I don't think he is. I don't think he's that quarterback. He never really has been. He's been a good backup. He's been a fun backup. However, for the Giants fan, I kind of do want a little bit of fun. I want a fun season. And this at least is the start of it. And will it turn into a playoff run? Let's be honest. The Eagles are going nowhere. The Commanders are getting better. Yes, true. The Cowboys are kind of in flux right now. I can't sit there and say that the Giants are a step away or quarterback away from making the playoffs, though I've heard that. And I've heard that from many people now, where if they get the right guy, if they bring in Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, that they could really just turn the corner super, super quick. Aaron Rodgers can make this team a playoff team. I mean, I've heard that before with the Jets. I heard that before, you know, a couple of years ago, that the Jets were going to be Super Bowl contenders with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's that level anymore. But again, you want to just bring in a veteran presence that can help this team win. You've now, at least as a backup, solidified the fact that Jameis Winston will be there in case whoever, if they go that route of a veteran quarterback, of Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, that you're good to go. That if something happens, that they come in and they don't perform or they get hurt, you got Jameis Winston and you don't have to worry about throwing in the young rookie, which you're going to draft. Again, the Jameis Winston signing makes me believe that Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward is more likely now than ever before. I really was doubting that. I really felt that the Cam Ward was never a possibility because I really didn't think that they were going to trade it for the first pick. I thought that's a stretch. Again, talking about two quarterbacks who are not perfect, then that's fine. Most quarterbacks aren't coming out of the draft. But two quarterbacks that weren't highly touted, that were extremely questionable up until about a few weeks ago, whereas now like, oh, well, Cam's going number one, obviously. Well, that being the case, Jameis Winston is going to help mold those quarterbacks on top of be a buffer, if the Giants are smart, be a buffer to getting to that rookie quarterback. I mean, you have Cam, you have almost guaranteed if Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson signs with this team that Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders will not play a snap in 2025. That's what Jameis Winston brings you. And a lot of people may be upset by that, but that's a smart freaking move. I mean, again, think about the overall quarterback play in the past few years. Like, we've seen Caleb Williams last year. Yes, a lot of people say he can still play. He's still good enough. He's going to have a good season this year going forward. He shows skills that he could be a top-level quarterback in the NFL. I got to be honest, I wasn't impressed with Caleb Williams last year. There was one quarterback that I was super, super impressed with, and that was Jaden Daniels with Washington. That was the one guy, but not everybody hits. Trevor Lawrence has been around for years, and he has not performed at an elite level. Well, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, if either are drafted by the Giants, you're now putting them in a spot to be successful because they're going to have an opportunity to learn for at least one full year. 888-808-1019 is Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan till 5 a.m. when Richard Neer takes over. Again, the New York Giants signing Jameis Winston for a two-year deal, not modest amount of money. It's not a crazy splash. They could still make other moves. They could still sign other players. Again, they could still sign another veteran quarterback. And again, it just feels like the Giants are actually making the right moves for the organization. And it's weird because it feels like both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are under fire here, but rather than go the let's go Hail Mary and save our job route, they are doing their best to put whichever quarterback they draft in this year's draft class in a good position to succeed for years, even if they're gone. I kind of like that. I don't want the Hail Mary approach. I don't want the how do we keep our job, how do we make the organization better? And that's what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll seem to be doing. So, good signs for Giants fans.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hoff, I need you to check this. Do you know who Jerry Dulac is? Because we're seeing some potential news here as far as the Giants quarterback situation goes. Look up Jerry Dulac, who apparently, BT, I'm just seeing this in real time here. He covers the Steelers and the PGA Tour for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He has 64,000 followers, so it seems safe to me. And he just tweeted out, Aaron Rodgers is at the Steelers facility today, an indication a deal with the team could be forthcoming per sources. Now, again, that is just happening moments ago, so stay tuned on that. Jerry Dulac, G, Jerry with the G. Jerry, you see it there, Hoff?
Yes, I do see it.
So you think this is real, right?
Steelers Radio Network host? Yeah, I guess.
Oh,
so.
I didn't even see that part of it. Okay.
Sounds pretty legit to me.
Yeah, it doesn't say that, BT, nowadays you just got to be careful when you go with something on the air. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that he's signing there, but Aaron Rodgers is at the Steelers facility today, which, in Jerry's words, an indication a deal with the team could be forthcoming. So maybe you get that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it doesn't mean that he's going to sign there today, but what it does mean, and you and I both thought, number one, he obviously wants to keep playing. Number two, it doesn't seem as if this decision is going to stretch on forever. Conceivably, could he leave without a deal and then visit the Giants and have this thing stretch out a while? It could, but it doesn't. If that report is true, and it seems like it's on the money, maybe we get quicker resolution than we thought.
Yeah, we will stay tuned for that and obviously react if, in fact, we do get news before we say goodbye. And look, that'll lead a whole thing into next week, what the Giants do with their quarterback, although it seems like it would be Russell Wilson. I still think that would be the best thing for him. Although, you're starting to hear, even driving in this morning listening to Boomer and Jerry, the sentiment is that the Titans all of a sudden are going to take Cam Ward, number one. If that's the case, and then the Browns may be interested in taking Sanders. They know how important it is to have a face to the franchise. They maybe take him number two. Dude, we're going to be in the same spot again? Like, is there a chance here the Giants could whiff on Stafford, whiff on Rodgers, whether we think it was good or not? They clearly wanted him. Whiff on the potential of getting a top quarterback in the draft and end up with Russell freaking Wilson?
I think there's a good chance. Real good chance. Which stinks.
And then what? Then what's going to happen is they're going to lose, obviously, they're going to win 6-7 games. They're going to lose this year again, and then are we going to finally see a new regime? No Shane, no Dable, no Russell Wilson have a new regime come in and try to draft a quarterback? Is that what we're looking at?
Nah, they got to draft somebody early. I'm obviously not at three if you're not taking Dart at three. Could you trade down and get Dart? Yeah, we've hit this a lot of different ways, but I think that there's a real chance that they wind up with that situation, which I think is pretty uninspiring. I think it's less about the volume of wins next year, provided whomever they draft, whatever they draft them, gets on the field and shows a little progress that you could sell to the fans and certainly sell to John Mara. But, like, if that doesn't happen, number one, they're not going to be good. And number two, the future seems, at least the immediate future, seems hopeless. And I don't think there's any chance they would be back.
BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get to some of the Midday Madness with you on the phones here on BT and Sal. Brought to you by Boost Mobile. Mike is calling from Kings Park, New York, wants to join the madness. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, just real quick on, like, the caller about the kids that go to the class. A lot of these guys are up in the summer sessions knocking out a lot of classwork during the summer, during the workouts, too. So I'm not buying that. Like, these kids are not showing up from class. I know the school that I went to, the players were in class, and, you know, and it was, you know, St. Bonaventure's a pretty decent program in the Atlantic 10. The kids were in class. Like, I went, the GM of the Cavs sat next to me in class, Mike Ganzi. Like, he was at class. but, you know,
I would think, Mike, and I've never had firsthand experience in this, but I would think that the kids who are making millions or project to make millions, maybe they take it a little less seriously than somebody who knows, hey, I'm just a great college athlete, and beyond what I do in college, I'm not going to be playing in the pros or overseas. I would hope and think that those kids would take being a student a little more seriously.
And by the way, Sal, even if you're not an athlete, I think that there's, you know, some people are just inherently moved and motivated to be great students, like my sister. My sister went to Columbia, studied at Oxford. Me, I was the opposite. I wanted to play ball. Now, I take pride in being smart and being well-read and having a sense of what's going on in the world, for sure. But I'd be lying if I said I enjoyed school. I mean, any shortcut that I could take, I took it.
Go ahead, Mike. What else you got?
Yeah, BT, same situation. Me and my sister went to the same school, and we were the opposite about going to
play. Oh, boy.
For the NIL, I mean, listen, I don't hate it with the kids making the money. I just hate the way it's combined with the transfer portal. Like, a couple things that I think the NCAA should really look to. One, can we stop the transfer portal from being activated until after the tournament's over, for God's sake? Like, I'm following stuff on Twitter, and players are jumping in and are in it already, and players are already, like, announcing deals. Like, I want to enjoy the tournament before I worry about, like, the offseason. And two, I think that what they should really do is, if you take NIL money, I think the student athlete and the school should be married to each other for 2 years. I think that's reasonable. Because right now, it's like every year, some of these rosters are completely turned over. And I think and I've talked to assistant coaches, you know, at Hofstra, it's lessening the quality of play because they're reteaching everything, the playbook,
yes,
the system.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I just think that's reasonable. A 2-year commitment from the student athlete in the school, and I think it would fix things a little bit.
You're going to see some refinements, and thanks for the call. Yeah, you're going to have to, because it's still the Wild Wild West. Now, it's on the table. It's visible. It's not illegal, but it's definitely not perfect. They got to smooth this thing out. I would even go so far as to say, like, I know that Rick right now, and that might change as the roster changes. Right now is certainly not recruiting high school kids, but if you're a, say you're a top 10 consensus player in the country and you want to go to Kentucky and you've got your NIL deal lined up, make it a 4-year deal. Now, if you go to the NBA, then after 2 years, then the last 2 years are gone. Excuse me. And if you transfer, then you either have to, there's got to be some sort of penalty. And I would like to see more than a 1-year commitment. Like, if you're not a top 10 player, but you're a top 100, but you're closer to 100 than one, then maybe you get a 2-year deal. All right, here's 2 years. Here's the money that we agree upon. $700,000 a year, whether you're a star or a dud. We got to pay you this for 2 years and you can't leave. Make it a little bit more binding. I think it would be better.
All right, a little more Midday Madness with you on the phones here on BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Raphael on Long Island wants to join the madness. What's up, Raphael?
How's it going, guys?
Good
to hear from you. Mr. Tierney, I'm going to take you down memory lane. Some 15 years ago, when you were over at 1050 and you had your own show, the Brandon Tierney Show.
Yeah.
You did a show at St. John's University.
I remember it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was there. A brand new building, D'Angelo Center, had just opened up.
Yeah.
That's my alma mater. I'm pretty sure I missed a class to go see that. I still have the shirt you gave me, the red shirt with ESPN and the said BT show on it.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I was out there. Absolutely. I was out there with Jody Mack. That's when I was working with Jody McDonald.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember her being there, but
I got you. Oh, it's a
hate. I 100% remember you there.
Gotcha.
My point was, I always made sure that I had teachers that didn't care about attendance, so I would miss a lot of classes. I still graduated. I had my bachelor's in accounting from there, but
yeah.
I made sure attendance didn't matter. It wasn't part of the grade. It was just get there, make sure you have your homework whenever I do assign it, show up for those days, get your test done, and that's it. So I don't miss me with all the people missing their classes, but that last caller did make a good point about the summer classes. I would assume that most of these guys are taking and knocking out whatever they can in the summer.
You're a St. John's fan, right?
Well, I'm a diehard LSU fan, but obviously
You're an LSU fan. And who's the best player on LSU?
St. John's. Ben Simmons and...
Okay.
You mean overall or basketball?
No.
Well, it's Maravich and Shaq.
No. I'm talking about right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
We don't really have one.
Oh, God. Just pick a player.
Then
let's just stick to St. John's. Stick to St. John's. Would you care? You're a St. John's fan, right? Do you care if RJ Lewis goes to class?
No.
Okay, and that's the point, and thank you for the call. He's telling me he's an LSU fan, wants me to name a player. I'm asking you because I couldn't name a player. Yeah, going back to Shaq, yeah, sure. I'm asking about now. LSU. I mean, what do I know about LSU? I barely know St. John's. I mean, come on. Pick a player. The point is, why do we even care about this? Like, yes, from a human-to-human standpoint, absolutely. That I understand. This is sports. We're talking sports. We're talking March Madness, not who's going to a class and what grades they have. You don't care. Sadly, that's not our issue. That's the teachers. That's the parents. That's the students themselves. That if they don't care about it now, one day maybe they will. One day maybe they don't have to. But, like, we don't care. I don't care about that. I care about RJ Lewis getting buckets against Arkansas, right?
That's right. 100%. His one point about the summer classes, somebody else said that earlier. It's true. There's a lot of mechanisms. You know, listen, I remember even when I was a freshman, it was mandatory study hall until you got a certain grade point average. Then you were out of it, which I did. But as a freshman, we all had to go every night, and it was a complete pain in the ass after practice. It stunk. And I remember, you know, one year, because there are a lot of, I mean, especially basketball, St. John's. I mean, forget about, you know, mid-major baseball. It's very different. But I would take a course during the winter called intercession just so I can lighten my spring load. Instead of taking 18 credits during the spring when I'm playing 50-something games, I might take 9 or 12, but I already beefed up my grade point average and my requirements during the period from the first to the second semester, and I would do it that way. There's so many ways to do it.
BT and Sal on the fan. The Midday Madness with you on the phones, brought to you by Boost Mobile. When you buy 6 months on their best unlimited plans, Boost will give you another 6 months free. We have righted the wrong, BT. The pizza is here. It smells delicious. There is variety.
How many?
There are eight pies.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the order, and you tell me what you think, because I took it upon myself to make the order.
Let's hear it. Give me some diversity. Go ahead.
Okay, see if you like this here. Let's see. I just got to get the exact thing. Rate your order. No, I don't want to do that. All right, two regular.
Okay.
One pepperoni.
Yep.
One Nona Maria, which I think is like their margarita version or whatever.
Okay, good.
Two grandma pies.
Nice.
One white pie.
Oh, you got to get the white in there. Nice.
And one buffalo chicken for, you know.
Any Sicilian? Any Sicilian?
No, I went with, well, the grandma pie to me is kind of Sicilian.
That's true. That is, I like it all. What I'm probably not going to like is the price.
Yo, I was going to say, big boy.
How much is this? How much, man?
$2.50.
Are you? Well, I almost cursed. $2.50 for pizza, man. I got you. I got half.
Now, if I knew you were in on it, I might have got a little more. Truth be told, maybe we would have got a Sicilian or a little calzone, but I was like, Jesus, $2.50.
I got you. I'm going to give you half. I'll give you cash when I get a Monday. Now, by the way, because you took a little issue with how I dealt with the Marash stuff on the back end.
Yes.
Hey, listen, he can root for St. John's. He can vehemently root against him. He ain't touching that pizza. If his hands go near that pizza, you better jump on him.
BT and Sal on the fan will come back with more of your calls. 888-808-1019.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you doctor that?
How would I doctor
it? I don't know.
No, when the game started...
I mean, you got it down to the minute.
Well, I mean, I figured it was going to be in the nines, but it was going to be close to 10 o'clock. Don't be like Loogie now, thinking I had some conspiracy.
You just had the script.
I had the script. Mm. I made a guess. If the scheduled start time is 9:45, and you know it's going to be delayed by some amount of time, I like to say throw about 15 minutes out there. But... Yeah, usually things don't start on the dot as nicely and organized as that sounds. So just subtract a couple of minutes. And that's how I got to 9:58. So, yeah, I got the victory on that one. But at least on Saturday, there's no, like, questions. They are already telling you, because it's the first session, that it's a 2:45 tip. And I got to tell you, I think that time sucks for most people. I really do. Yeah. I think middle of the day on a Saturday is not less than ideal.
Oh, it depends. For some people, it's fine because they don't have anything going on or they don't have kids. And for those that are just all dialed into the NCAA tournament, even if they don't care about any of these teams, who cares? It's perfect, actually, because you're comfortable in the middle of the day. But for a lot of people, especially if you have families and stuff to do, you're not gonna see it. You're gonna find out about it.
No, absolutely. I'm gonna try to DVR it. But the problem with DVR, and I've had this problem with anything I DVR, is you need to get away from social media and your text messages because anything can spoil it. Mm. And as interested as I am in St. John's, Arkansas, I don't know if I'm interested in enough to shut my phone down and avoid interactions with all people because it does take a commitment to DVR.
But you can watch it and know what happened.
I don't like doing that.
So you'd rather not watch if you know what happened?
No, I'd rather watch it not knowing what happened.
Why?
Because I want to be surprised. What do you mean, why?
Why do you want to be surprised?
I want to watch the game.
You're still going to get informed.
If I know the result of a game, it's less likely I'm going to want to watch the game.
So you're looking for the emotional reaction.
Yeah.
That's why you watch sports.
Absolutely.
You want the emotional reaction.
This isn't a movie where, like, you're watching the prequel so you know how it's going to end because it's leading to another movie. This is sports. Mm. Like, if I'm taking my kid to a birthday party, if someone at the birthday party, and I doubt it because God knows I'll be the only man there, but if somehow, like, I find out the result of the game, I would be less likely to then go home and watch the game on DVR. Mm. But if I have no idea,
yeah,
and now I'm home and I put the game on, I'm glued to it.
That's interesting because I watch sports, as I told you, because I want to see great stuff. If something great happened, I'll watch it even if I know what happened.
Right. Well, you're also in a spot where you have to know. As a football broadcaster, there's no way you could avoid the Giant or Jet game
right. And
then watch it as it's new. So you're kind of in this spot where you got no other choice.
But I think I know why you watch games, because you want the emotional reaction, whatever it is.
Damn right.
Good, bad, whatever. You want to feel it authentically.
I want to feel it. I want that authentic feel to what happens. Speaking of authentic, there's no more authentic person than Aaron Rodgers. And today, he is spending his day in Pittsburgh. What does that mean for his future potentially as a New York Giant? We'll get to it coming up. 888-808-1019. There was this brief moment of excitement that Tiki Barber and Sean Morash had. And now that excitement is starting to evaporate, because earlier today, if you're just tuning in, a reporter based out of Pittsburgh named Jerry Dulac reported out of nowhere that Aaron Rodgers is at the Steeler facility. And so you see a report like that, and you hear a report like that. Tiki was excited because he thought, finally, this Rodgers thing is over.
Yeah, no more drama. Tired of it.
No more drama. Who's your mama?
I moved off a week ago, so we're good.
The problem is, you see that report, you're like, okay, Aaron Rodgers at the Steeler facility, what's going on? Very soon after, Many NFL insiders, including Adam Schefter, Tom Pelissero, they all come out to say, yeah, he's just visiting. No deal is imminent. And it goes back to something we talked about a week ago with Rodgers. Has he visited any team? Has he visited the New York Giants? We were never able to get an answer on where Rodgers has visited it. And I think that this today tells us all the answers we need, which is he didn't visit anybody.
Yeah.
And today is his first visit. It's the Steelers. And I'm going to give you a prediction. Evan Roberts' brain is going to make another report. Now, my first Evan Roberts brain report is that Nolan Arenado will be on the Yankees by opening day. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Got a week.
Evan Roberts' brain is reporting that Aaron Rodgers will meet with the New York Giants this weekend. And the reason I report
why?
That...
Why? Because he's close in proximity now?
Yeah, I think he's deciding, okay, I'm going to do my visits. And unlike everyone else, like Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, where things leak out, Rodgers is true. Things don't true. Leak out. The only reason this came out is because he's there.
Yeah, but I just wonder, like, why was there so much attachment to the Giants, to the Steelers, to the Vikings, if he hasn't been anywhere, right? If he's truly taking his own time, you know what I mean? And he's not aggressively targeting the beginning of free agency to make his decision. So he's just kind of waiting around, just biding his time, whereas teams don't have that kind of urgency. I mean, that kind of patience.
Alternate theory. He's already met with the Giants, and they've passed his test, the no-leak test. And the Steelers have failed it today. Had it made how many big deals about the Jets and the leaks, and we need to clean this up? Is this waiting game all about, all right, who's going to leak that I visited with them, and the Steelers just failed the test?
Who leaked this again?
Well,
who said it?
Jerry Dulac.
Jerry Dulac, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, how did he know this?
See, that's what I was going to counter Sean with. I'm surmising that he's just at the facility, and you notice these things. Like, how do you hide that?
Yeah, when Aaron Rodgers walks in, people would know. But are beat reporters there all the time?
On March 21st, the beat reporters sitting around, nobody's even in the weight rooms.
Because I think it's not that the beat reporters see them firsthand. It's just that there are more people that work at a facility than just the general manager and the owner. Like, a lot of people work at facilities. Like, I'll give you an example, and I'm not accusing him of leaking anything. But the great John Schmelk, he works here at used to work here at WFAN. He's an alum. And now, of course, is working for the New York Giants, right? In the podcast... what's his official title? I don't want to demote him in any regard.
I don't know his official title, but he does co-host a show with me on Saturday morning. Okay. Big Blue Kickoff Live.
But John Schmoke is a good dude.
He's also the host of the pre- and post-game show for the New York Giants here on the station.
Yeah. Johnny Schmoke, good guy.
That's his title, by the way.
That's his title. Pre- and post-game host, right? John Schmoke works at the Giant facility. If Aaron Rodgers shows up, and I'm not saying he'd leak it out,
right,
but he could text his friend. Hey, you know who just walked by? Aaron Rodgers.
But that's what Rodgers is testing here.
But Rodgers is more, I think, testing coaching staffs and front offices. There are a lot of lower-level people, not that I call John Schmelk lower-level, that work for a franchise. So I think it's much easier when he shows up at the Steeler facility for it to just be, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is here. It could be a custodian worker. It could be someone who's making food.
Yeah, why are they telling Jerry?
Right, but a leak's a leak. That's the problem. That's what it's a whole facility matters here. He didn't like that with the Jets. What if it was a custodian leaking everything with the Jets?
I give your theory credit. I don't think the Giants are above everybody else. There would have been a leak. That would be my counter to you. Now, I can't prove that. I would guess that someone would leak out Aaron Rodgers is in the building, and I think I'll be proven right this weekend when it's leaked out that Aaron Rodgers is in the building.
I just want to say something. I pretty much agree with everything you said. I'm just throwing that out there. Based on everything Rodgers has actually said about leaks and how much he hates them.
It's a fine theory to have. I'm just saying I don't think it's true. I think Aaron Rodgers, to answer Tiki's point of like, okay, well, what was he been doing for the last few weeks?
He's probably been on vacation.
Yeah.
He's been chilling.
So who's been reporting he was close to signing with a team? People who are wrong.
I've said this when he first started having these negotiations with the Jets. Because you were forced to talk about him. And it's a master manipulation of people's psyches. And he does it better than any player. Because he feeds into it. And then he doesn't deny it. So then you start speculating whether or not it's true, which makes you talk about it more. And so Aaron Rodgers is just, he plays the media. Because all of that stuff we heard from 2 weeks ago, it was all nonsense.
Yeah, probably.
Now you have to know it was all nonsense.
Well, it goes back to this. Russell Wilson met with teams. Jameis Winston met with teams.
Oh, he told us. Russell Wilson told us.
Right, but these guys before signing are meeting with teams. If Aaron Rodgers hadn't met with anybody, and we had no indication that he did or didn't, but we didn't know, was he really signing? Was Aaron Rodgers ever signing with a team without meeting with the team? And to me, the answer is no, and now he's meeting with teams. So I think we're further down the road of Aaron Rodgers making a decision, but I don't think him being in Pittsburgh tells you he's about to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, because I surmise he's going to meet with the Giants. And I don't know what he's looking for in these meetings. In his mind, he may have already decided where he'd rather play.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, I'm using my educated brain to tell me he has not met with the Giants yet, and he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, if he's just now meeting with the Steelers... Even though it's, I find it odd that they both have offers out to him. So it's kind of just, maybe the offer is a way to start discussions.
Well, do they have both have offers out to him now?
Well, that's what we, again, I have no idea.
There you go. Go back to it.
It goes back to what we were talking about.
Aaron Rodgers defies reporting.
Yes.
Like, he has told us many times, if you haven't heard it from me, it's not true. Well, we've heard nothing from Aaron Rodgers. So I'm of the school, as an Aaron Rodgers ologist, after dealing with his multiple years here with the Jets, I'm not just going to believe it because Diana Russini is hearing it or Adam Schefter's hearing it, and it's no offense to them.
Man, I hate to say this, but this is why you need him on McAfee.
So he could clear the air?
No, just so he could tell you himself.
That's true.
Because anything else you hear sounds like nonsense.
We've come full circle.
Yes. We need him on McAfee.
I predict when we find out Aaron Rodgers meets with the Giants, 2:45 tomorrow.
During the St. John's, he's going to blow
right
away
St. John's.
But both
that would be par for the course.
That would be. But both of you guys said, as I sent out the text message earlier, hey, Jerry Dulac in Pittsburgh is reporting that Rodgers is meeting with them. You both were like, good, let's get it over with. I'm sick of it.
Right.
If I'm right that he's going to meet with the Giants probably this weekend, are you not back in since he's your best quarterback option, or are you still out because this whole process is annoying?
Ask me after he signs.
Oh, come on. That's the chicken S answer.
No, I'm out, but I'm a sucker fanboy that the moment he signs, I'll be like, all right, well, you know, he wanted to be here.
You know what it's done for me? It's made me okay if he retires or goes someplace else. That's what this has done this last week and a half, 2 weeks. I don't care if he comes here anymore now. I've reconciled that it probably isn't happening, and there's got to be a different methodology to finding a winning quarterback situation.
Moving into just a couple of things quickly with the football, only because two things caught my eye. Number one, your guy, Bill Cowher, was on the Dan Patrick Show, and I thought he raised an interesting question, and this is not to have an Aaron Rodgers conversation for the 9 millionth time, but I did think what he said was interesting, and, you know, it was kind of along the lines of maybe the Steelers shouldn't be thinking so much about Aaron Rodgers, because what concerns him is the fact that as more time goes on, he really thinks that Rodgers is contemplating retirement more than anything. And if that's the case, and I think you've said this too, once you start thinking about retirement, maybe you've kind of checked out or you're already retired. I mean, do you think that that's what it is? If Minnesota is out at this point, and that's what we seem to think it has to be, you're thinking about the Steelers or the Giants. If you want to win, you would think it's Pittsburgh. What would take so long?
I think we have time, because the draft is still, what, a month away, right?
Yeah, late April.
Late April, so maybe 5 weeks away. So they have plenty of time, and this is the discussion we had 2 years ago about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets. Once you come to the Jets, remember all that? Everybody was impatient.
For sure.
Said, just relax. He's going to get here, and it will happen before the draft. Now, I think that's the case. I think we'll find out something before the draft. If we don't find out something before the draft, then that makes me think that Minnesota may still be in play after watching J.J. McCarthy go through OTAs and everything else. Remember when Brett Favre, I think, came to the Jets, and also when he went to the Vikings, it was late.
The Jets was August. Yeah, because I was covering the team, and I remember when he arrived.
And I
arrived,
think the same thing happened with the Vikings.
That I wouldn't know.
I think so. It's not like you have to have him there right now. You'd love to have a guy in there going through OTAs and everything else. That could be also something else he wants to avoid. You know, maybe he wants to stay out in California. Maybe he wants to travel some. He looks like he's in great shape. He can still play. It's just a question of whether or not you want to put up with everything that is around him. Now, he creates a lot of that, but I still think that I would think he'd want to come back and play at least one more year, and the Vikings probably would be the best place for him for that single year.
So does that mean, all right, so does that mean then the Giants and Steelers don't do anything till the draft, and if nothing is done at that point,
they may do something right prior to the draft, or they may do something right after the draft. I mean, there's three or four guys that they can go for. They can go for Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz is still out there. There's still guys that they can bring in here that can play quarterback if they decide to go drafting a quarterback in the draft, high in the draft. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on here, whether it be, and it's interesting listening to Todd McShay and both Mel Kiper, who do this stuff for a living, talk to people left and right all the time. And that report by McShay and the Browns and Shedeur Sanders and everybody now thinks that Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
So that would leave the Browns to take Shedeur or somebody trading up to get Shedeur, and maybe the Giants don't have a chance at either one of them.
Which would be... Right, and that would see. It's interesting.
Then they have the choice. But however, if they don't, if the quarterbacks are not there for them to get, then they have their choice at two great football players playing very, very important positions. The edge rusher is Abdul Carter. He's the best player in this draft for what he does, what he brings, and what I think he'll bring at the next level. He's the best player in the draft. Then Travis Hunter is the next best player in the draft, non-quarterback. And when you think about those two players, if the Giants could get one of those players at number three, I think that would be great. But the problem still remains, who is their quarterback that can get them to wins this coming season?
And you would think second round, you're going for that second-tier quarterback. You have to.
I would think so.
I would think so, too. But who knows?
Or
anyway.
You trade back up into the first round and get, maybe a Jackson Dart who still may be hanging around.
It's funny. So it's mentioned McShay and Kiper. So there was one, it wasn't one of those guys, but another one of these draft guys that I heard, that I saw on TV yesterday, was talking about the next level of quarterback that's in this draft shouldn't be drafted in the first five rounds, that they're not NFL quality. Who, though? Like, who knows?
Some people are
saying Dart's better than the other. Who knows?
Right. We don't know until they get into the league, until they get into their situation, and then you see how they handle it. By the way, Jalen Milroe, the quarterback out of Alabama. Ran a sub 4.44 40.
But what does that mean?
That's great for an RPO.
Yeah, all right.
That's an RPO offense, that's for sure.
I mean, I've seen a lot of really good quarterbacks that don't run.
Anthony Richardson blew everybody away at the combine.
Yeah, but he can't complete a pass.
Right, exactly.
So this doesn't mean anything.
That's why you got to be really careful about all these measurables. The truly great quarterbacks have something that you can't really measure until you see them on the field.
I completely agree. Conrad and Cherry Hill, what's up, Conrad?
Hey, good morning. Enjoying the show this morning.
Thanks.
I want nothing to do with this Aaron Rodgers talk and this him coming to the Giants. I'm tired of waiting for this guy, okay? Even if he comes over, he's probably going to be with us maybe a year, most two. What does that do for our franchise? I think that kind of sets us back. If we do win games, then we're not going to be in a place to be able to get.
Well, hold on for a second, Conrad. Here's the thing. You have to remember that the Giants coaching staff and front office has been here now for 4 years. They want to win. They need to win. The owner has said so. The owner said it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said it again this year after the season was over.
Doesn't want to be standing in the same position a year from now.
And what did Brian Daboll say when they won a game in which they beat the Colts?
That's what happens when you get good quarterback play.
That's exactly right. So, and that was Drew Locke's game.
Yes, and the idea of Rodgers coming in and saying, what is he going to do for us? If you take the wins and losses aside, the idea would be, play for a year, and then the quarterback you draft takes over next year.
That would be the idea. If Aaron wants to go play one more year and not leave the way that he left, then I would say, it's got to be either Minnesota again or Pittsburgh, because I think Pittsburgh's building an offense that he can win with.
It's amazing how he keeps his name in the news by not signing anywhere.
Yeah, but he's
Aaron Rodgers,
one of the most popular players in the history of the league.
But he's 41.
So Tom Brady was older than Aaron Rodgers and went down there and won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
Well aware.
But he had the edge. Like, he wanted that.
Well, I think Rodgers does too. I just don't know if he's physically capable of it
anymore. We don't know if he does right now. That's the thing. That's where everybody's wondering whether or not does he really still want to play. And that's what Bill Cowher is alluding
to. About retirement thoughts, yes.
That's what he's alluding to. You know, the Giants is going to be an interesting thing, what they're going to do with the third pick, depending on what the Browns and what Tennessee does. And like we were talking about Todd McShay yesterday saying that Shedeur Sanders could be in play for the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, if Tennessee takes Cam Ward and the Cleveland Browns basically take Shedeur Sanders, you're going, if you're the New York Giants, you will have the opportunity to draft the best player in this draft. Most people, and I'm one of those people, think it's Abdul Carter from Penn State. That guy is a game-changing edge rusher, and we can all see it on the field. Now, I know he's got a foot issue that he had with at the combine, and then the next best player would probably be Travis Hunter. I don't know who or what you would think would be more apropos for the Giants. I guess they would love to get another cornerback back there that would be somebody that would be a ball hawk like Travis is. And
would
then,
he play both ways like he did in college?
I think they'd start him on defense and then they'd have packages for him on offense.
Like what the Cowboys did with Deion back in the day.
I think that's what they would try to do, but maybe a little bit more on offense. Mm. Maybe, you know, 10, 12 plays, and then he wouldn't come off the field at all on defense, assuming he can handle both. But he's got to learn the pro game first at one position. Let him learn that, and then as he gets more comfortable, then you could explore doing something else on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, so you mentioned Shedeur Sanders, and this is where my confusion comes into play. You look at YouTube just the way I do. You look at Twitter, like X, like we all do, and you, more and more every day, you see one thing as fact, and then the opposite as fact. And you don't know what to believe anymore. And I'm not even joking. There's been this push about, you know, eat all protein, no carbs, and you're going to be healthy, and you're going to be fit, and it's good for your heart. Meantime, on my YouTube feed, lately I'm getting, carbs are your friend. Don't listen to the people that tell you carbs are bad. So I bring it back to football. Yesterday, I don't know where I guess it was ESPN. I saw Mel Kiper Jr.
Okay.
Now, for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I have seen Shedeur Sanders anywhere in these mock drafts going from 2 all the way down to late in the first round.
Yeah.
I have seen some say Shedeur Sanders is going to be a good pro, to some saying stay away from him. He's not an NFL quarterback. And then yesterday, Mel Kiper, I think, does a pretty good job. Kind of knows the college game, I think. It's what he does for a living. Literally said, he is the best player in this draft. Who is... What?
Yeah, now, I don't know. I
called him a baller. Called him, you know, talked about the, you know, the way he grew up. That headwise, in the, you know, in terms of being able to handle this market, if it was the
which
Giants,
which is what I've been saying. That's the one thing I know that he can do. He can handle it.
So can he or can he? Should he or shouldn't be? Because then you've got people that say the Giants would be lucky if Sanders and Ward go 1-2 so they don't get forced into taking a quarterback who's not going to be that good. Others are like, they got to trade up to number one to get Cam Ward because he's I mean, you want to talk about confusion at the highest of levels.
Right, because there's no, like last year, everybody knew Caleb, Jaden, and Drake. They knew. They knew the three. They knew that they were going to go three. They knew that all the teams at the top of the draft needed quarterbacks. I would say that both teams at the top of this draft, or all three teams at the top of this draft, all need a young quarterback to build around. The question is, I think most people do not believe that either one of these guys would be drafted ahead of anyone that was drafted last year, including Bo Nix.
Okay.
All right, and Bo Nix fell, and a number of these teams passed on Bo Nix, but Bo Nix ended up going with the right coach.
Mm-hmm.
He is in the right spot for who he is, the type of athlete he is.
Well, fit is everything, as we've talked about with Darnold, too.
And I just think that whoever the Giants draft, if it is a quarterback, it's going to be a disaster. Only because there'll be new coaches and a new GM here next year, if that kid has to play.
Right. Understood.
That's kind of the, like we keep saying, the conundrum that the Giants are in. They need to win now, and they're not going to. There's no Jaden Daniels in this draft.
Well, they need to show that they're a winning team. I don't necessarily think that if they don't go to the playoffs that they're, like, to me, if the Giants ended up with forget about, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Let's say it is Jameis Winston, and let's just say, even like, to me, 6-11 can look one way and 6-11 can look another way. If you're losing close games and you're competitive and it looks like the team is starting to play better and then you've got a young quarterback and waiting in the wings, that's different than being 5-12 and looking like crap.
If you told me they were 7-10 or 8-9 and they showed some signs of development with a quarterback, then I would say, okay, these guys are going to stay. But we've been around here too long, Jerry, watching this, and we have seen over and over and over again both of these teams, you know, get impatient, end up firing people, hiring the wrong people, thinking that they hired the right people in the first place, and then just turning around and firing them again. Now, I think it took a lot for John Mara, not to, especially after what happened with Saquon Barkley, not to go in there and just absolutely torch the place again.
But if you didn't let them go last year, don't you almost have to give them 2 years with this third pick?
It all depends on how it looks, man. And I'm assuming that they're all in there discussing, is this the right guy? Is this the guy that we want leading our team? If he's there, do we take him? Do we trade up? Do we use assets to get him? You know, if they use assets to go up and get the quarterback that they want and that quarterback doesn't turn out to be the guy that they think he is, Then they're going to be out of a draft.
Right. Understood. I want to clarify too. I don't think Kuiper said the best player in the draft. I think he said Shedeur Sanders was the best quarterback in the draft. Is what I believe he said.
Drop back quarterback, pocket passer. You know all the things that Todd McShay said. I could see that. I mean, but then again, would he have been chosen before any of the guys that went in the first round last year?
Well, no, and we discussed that. I don't think so. And then here's the other thing about the draft, and I've said this too over and over. I'm going to give you a little quiz, Eddie. Al, you can jump in on this. So I'm going to set the over under at 2.5. 2021, not that long ago. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Okay, 4 years ago. How many players that the Giants drafted in 2021 do you think are still on their roster? Not 2016, 2021. Over under 2.5.
Under.
That is true. Al, what do you think? You agree?
I will go under as well.
Not only is it under, the answer is zero. Nobody. And when Ojulari went to the Eagles.
Right, it's not these guys. These guys didn't do the drafting.
I understand. But what I saw the article in the paper yesterday. So then what I did, I went down this rabbit hole of trying to find draft analysis. I mean, we're gushing about Kadarius Toney. What a pick. Unbelievable. Ojulari, what a steal. And I told you I liked him. I thought he was a good player. I would have re-signed him. But he goes to Philly. None of their guys are here 4 years later.
Yeah.
And we sit here and go bonkers. What are they going to? We can't get rid of a fourth round draft pick. Why not? He's not going to be on your team in 3 years anyway.
Didn't we talk about it 2 days ago? The amount of guys that end up signing second contracts with their teams.
Yeah, what was that, 20% or something?
Yeah, and the lower the draft pick, the less likely it is as you go down the as you go down the draft. And then a free agent coming out of college this year that they sign, maybe one or two of them make it, maybe about a handful are on the practice squad.
Right, most don't though.
Most don't.
And I know it's the NFL.
To get there.
I know we love it, and I know the NFL is king right now. But when it comes to the draft, we're all morons. Honestly, no one knows what they're looking at. Nobody knows who's gonna. You know, you talk about can't miss with Abdul Carter, and I sure sounds good to me. Brian Bosworth back in the day was a can't-miss player. And what happened to him?
So was Tony Mandrich.
Tony Mandrich. Left tackle. This
so
guy's
Ryan
be,
Leaf.
Right. And you talk about guys that are picked so high.
It's littered with a million guys that don't make it for whatever reason. There's all sorts of reasons why. Injury is some of it. Some of it's the player himself. Some of it is he and the coach don't get along, or he doesn't fit the scheme that the coach is running on offense and defense, doesn't want to play special teams. There's a million reasons why guys don't make it, and it's usually only one reason why they do make it, and that's because they don't want to fail.
That, and they end up with the right coach and the right system.
But they don't
want to
fail. They just don't want to fail. They just are not going to give in. They're going to bust their ass the whole time and do whatever the coach is asking, and a coach can coach a guy like that.
Well, we'll see who those guys are this year.
So, think about this for 1 second. We are in the entertainment business. That's what sports is.
Yes.
And I think a part of why the Mets signed Juan Soto was not just his brilliance, not just because he's a great baseball player, but because they knew fannies will be in the seats. And the Mets are off to a great start in terms of selling tickets. People are going to go to the ballpark to see Juan Soto. When the Jets acquired Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago, there was a spike in season ticket sales.
Yep.
It just happened.
Just because of the expectation rising.
like extreme rising.
I think that was a part of it, but I think the other part of it was Aaron Rodgers' box office.
Yeah, but I don't think so much. I think it was more about winning as opposed to I have to see Aaron Rodgers.
I think it was both, to be honest with you. I definitely think that winning is the driving force, much like it is for the Mets. Do not get me wrong on that. I think there was also the box office factor of a star. We certainly saw that with the Nets when they added Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It certainly didn't lead to any winning, but more people showed up in the ballpark. Are any of these quarterbacks, whether it's Aaron Rodgers himself, who the Giants are still pursuing, whether it's Russell Wilson, I doubt it's Jameis Winston or anybody else. Are any of these quarterbacks, if the Giants acquire, I'm not even talking about the draft picks, we'll get to that later.
Right.
Are any of these veteran quarterbacks selling tickets?
Yeah, the draft picks are crapshoot, so you have no idea. Maybe you'll be excited if the hype around training camp and he's awesome is exciting, but I doubt it. The only one, honestly, that would sell tickets, and it might not be immediate, would be Jameis Winston.
Really?
Because he's so exciting as a player, and that's good and bad. And hopefully it'd be more good if you signed him. But I mean, he legitimately can throw for 400 yards a game, and he wants to. Right? He's not scared to make the throw. He is classic gunslinger. And for an offense that we talked about a lot last year that was designed and needed to be more aggressive with shots downfield, Jameis Winston will absolutely do that. And so it's almost what Dabbs wants. It's why you go get Malik Nabers. It's why you're trying to add more speed into this offense. And so if Jameis Winston can fulfill that in any way, it will be exciting. Now, I don't think if it happened tomorrow, Giant season ticket sales are going to explode.
Right.
But I do think, let's call it the box office on game day, would be very entertaining after a couple of weeks.
They would be a much more entertaining team if Jameis Winston was on it. Mm-hmm. I agree. And that doesn't even include the fact that he's actually wildly entertaining. Like, he's not a cliche machine. He says what's on his mind, and he's very, very funny. I think it was last week, or maybe it was earlier this week. I lose track of days. We counted down some of the funniest Jameis Winston moments.
That was this week.
Last week he was genuinely a funny guy. That was what day? What day was that?
This week, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. Right? Tyler was saying it was Monday.
No, it was Monday. It's definitely Monday. And then we did Russell last week.
Yeah, because he's cringy. I don't think Russell Wilson sells any tickets. And this is a guy who's quarterback two teams to the Super Bowls.
Agreed.
I don't think at first Jameis Winston sells any tickets. I think you may be right. Like, yes, if it's an exciting brand of football, they're scoring a lot. Sure.
Right.
I do think, even though the number is minimal, Aaron Rodgers sells tickets. I don't think there's any doubt. And I think he did for the Jets.
I mean,
he absolutely did with the Jets.
Just look at the Jets. That'll tell you the story.
And so I do think and it shouldn't necessarily be the biggest factor. Like, I want Joe Shane making the decision, not ownership. It's exactly what I said about the Jets with I want Darren Mugi and Aaron Glenn making the decision, not Woody Johnson. But I do think, as much as people are sick of Aaron Rodgers, they don't like Aaron Rodgers, or this about Aaron Rodgers, or that about Aaron Rodgers, I do think that he moves the needle more than any other quarterback in terms of selling a couple of tickets.
No, you're probably right about that, but it's just, how soon until you get frustrated? I think it was what it's going to come down to.
Well, I think so.
And I'm not even talking about from a fan standpoint. I'm talking about internal standpoint.
I do want to point out that Aaron Rodgers signing with the Minnesota Vikings, as we all know, would follow this weird Brett Favre script. I completely forgot about this. I don't know if you guys remembered, but Mike Florio wrote an article earlier today reminiscing about Brett Favre and how he joined the Vikings. I didn't even remember that Favre retired again after the Jets moved on.
Oh, yeah.
So you remember that?
Yeah, because we killed him for retiring, unretiring, retiring, unretiring.
So he retired again, and then he didn't sign up.
He retired because the Jets said we're good riddance?
I think he was kind of saying good riddance to Jets, right?
I mean, the Jets were blowing it up. I mean, they were firing everybody. Yeah. Remember, they fired.
He himself knew it was a one-year proposition.
He was also really injured at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So the Jets had obviously moved on. They hired Rex Ryan. They drafted Mark Sanchez. Brett Favre didn't sign with the Vikings until July and show up until August 18th.
Wow.
And obviously it didn't hurt the Vikings. They got all the way to the NFC Championship game. I think maybe I was so engrossed in the Jets and Giants and we had moved on from Brett Favre that I completely forgot how late it took for him to actually sign with Minnesota. So if Rodgers is trying to follow the Favre script, I got some news for you.
Got time.
It's going to take some time.
He's got a long time.
And I mentioned this at the top of the show.
Who was the quarterback that year?
So there was a competition. It's a great trivia question. Let's see if Sean remembers.
I do.
The two quarterbacks competing for the job before Favre took it.
they traded and thought they had something in Sage Rosenfels.
Sage Rosenfels.
I don't remember the other one.
Tavares Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Those were the two guys. Now, it is a little bit different with J.J. McCarthy. Because the reality with J.J. McCarthy is they used a first-round pick on him, mm-hmm. and he hasn't played yet.
No.
Like, I know there's a lot of strong opinions about him, but he hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
We don't know what he is.
Did they make a signing?
What do you mean?
No, they just have J.J. and Brett Rippon?
Yes. They're going to sign a veteran quarterback, just not on the level of Aaron Rodgers. So maybe Joe Flacco ends up there. Right. He seems to make a lot of sense.
Which is my point. Eventually, these veterans will sign if you don't sign one and you sit around waiting for Rodgers.
Yes.
But I think the Vikings have just fully moved off of it.
It sounds like they're moving off of it until there's a reason to be concerned about McCarthy, whether it's his rehab or him struggling in the spring. And their attitude is, if Aaron Rodgers is there, great. And if he's not there, that's fine. We've already moved on.
Yeah, I get the sense that Aaron is basically saying, I'm not in the mood to make a decision right now. Bother me when this matters type of thing.
Aaron Rodgers, you mean?
Yes, 100%.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers realizes he doesn't have to make a decision.
No, because he can just retire.
Yes, which I've said since the beginning. I still think he does.
You might be right.
Well, if he doesn't like the situation, he could retire. See, here's what he could do if he really wants to follow the Favre script. He could retire right now and say, you know what? I'm out. I don't intend on playing. And then reevaluate come July based on injuries or the way situations change. Because if he's not signing with the Giants and Steelers today, obviously it shows that's not his first choice.
Yeah.
There's a trepidation, whether it's retiring or going to Minnesota. So you can almost fugazi retire, wait this thing out, and then depending on what things look like in July or August, completely change your mind and come back.
Yeah, the only challenge would be a lot of teams will just already have their quarterback rooms filled. Now, you can move on from those guys easily. It is what it is, but he's got to be okay with maybe not having a shot and just having to retire.
Well, that may happen.
Right.
Or in training camp, Brock Purdy may get hurt, and the Niners may say, screw it, let's go get Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Come on. No, he's not Jimmy Garoppolo. He's signed with the Rams.
Oh, Rams.
The Niners signed somebody we forgot. Who new team who did?
Yeah, we'll be doing that in August. New team, who this?
I'm forgetting now. They did sign a backup. I can't think of what it
is. I'm not sure. I have to Google that. Maybe
Jones.
One of them can Google
Mac
that.
Jones.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's go to John in Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, boys. Tiki, you were 100% right with Jameis Winston. I've been saying this since halfway through last year. The Giants have had like nothing to root for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Bring in somebody who's exciting and bring in somebody who can get the ball downfield to the electric receivers we have. Wandale Robinson. I mean, the only thing limiting Neighbors last year was we didn't have someone who can consistently get him the ball. He's so electric and watching the quarterback be late on reads or just miss throws is so frustrating. Like, get this guy the ball. I'll deal with the interceptions. I'll deal with the mishap. We'll have fun. We'll have a fun year. We'll be in position to be there next year, maybe with a different quarterback or a young quarterback.
Right.
But bring in Jameis, man. Come on. You nailed it.
I think Jameis is one of those guys. He's the classic gunslinger, right? That old school mentality. Because you got to remember, back in the day, I don't mean like my era, but like before my era, throwing the ball downfield was truly a crapshoot.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best quarterbacks of that two generations ago have ridiculous career interception numbers. It was a modern invention to be perfect throwing the football. And so I think the analytics of the game have changed how possessions are valued. And so throwing interceptions is a humongous no-no, but he's so like 1980, right? The way he just doesn't care whether, the decisions that he's making, he thinks he's making the right one every time. So it's entertaining, but it's also very frustrating.
Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
It was a conversation about the NFL draft, and I am beyond confused from this standpoint. I feel like the entire season, it was, especially when things started to go poorly for the Giants, it was, you know what? They're not good, but next year you got Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. We're going to take Shedeur Sanders if we're lucky enough to be, forget number three, number one. Like, that was the idea. Deion Sanders talking about my kid's going to be the first. Okay, fine. Then whatever the case might be, we've heard now. I mean, I've seen some mock drafts that don't even have him going in the top 15. And I'm like, wow. Then you had the combine. You got the smear campaign, some would say. And then I'm listening to things. And whatever it was, whoever it was is saying, Shedeur Sanders might go number two.
Yes.
Is this kid a player or is he not?
I think you're talking about Todd McShay.
Yes, that's what it was.
So Todd McShay was doing a whole dissertation
on Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns and the type of quarterback that he has had success with. And the types of quarterbacks that Kevin Stefanski has been around and has had success with have been pocket passers. And that's exactly what Shedeur Sanders is. There's different types of quarterbacks. They play different ways. And the way that the game is played today, you know, he's like a throwback. You know, he's an old school Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Aaron Rodgers is more mobile than those guys. Like, he's mobile, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to play the position the way he believes he's best at it, and that is sitting in the pocket and throwing. And I think Todd McShay's description of who Shedeur Sanders is as a player is spot on. That's exactly what he is, and I think we all see it. I give Todd his credit because Todd, you know, lives and breathes this stuff much like Mel Kiper does.
Mm-hmm.
So when he is explaining why he thinks the Cleveland Browns could be in play for Shedeur Sanders at number two, it's because of the success that Kevin Stefanski has had with pocket passers. Joe Flacco would be one of those.
Right.
He had Case Keenum, I guess, when he was out in Minnesota. So he's been around those guys, and he likes guys who can read through progressions and get rid of the ball and not have to worry about calling RPOs. So Cam Ward is going to be more of an RPO type of a quarterback, more of a move quarterback. Shedeur, to his credit, is going to be more of a pocket passer.
And if I was going to be the Giants or the Browns or the Titans, whoever might take him, what? And I know he's going to say all the right things because he's on Deion's staff. I get that. But the idea that Pat Shurmur speaks so highly of him as well, and you see the way he plays the position, wouldn't that lend itself to thinking he's got a real good chance?
So you have to take all of that into account. I mean, again, I can only go through personal experience. I think a lot of what Shedeur supposedly is dealing with in terms of this smear campaign, whatever you want to call it, or maybe just teams being honest about the meetings they had with him, they were put off by it. I feel like I did that myself. You know,
You've lived it.
I know what that's like going through the process. And you're so confident, you're so cocky, and you're so like in the guy's face that you're trying to impress upon them, I could take your team to the next level. They get turned off by that, believe it or not.
I absolutely believe it.
And I think I did that too. So I would say that Shedeur may have done that to some teams, but maybe those are teams that he doesn't want to play with. I don't know. That could be the case.
We have obviously looked back many years on the drafts, and there have been guys that have been picked very high that have completely flamed out and turned out to be nothing whatsoever. And then you've had guys like Brock Purdy, like Tom Brady, drafted way out and were thought nothing of and turned out to be, in Brady's case,
great systems,
phenomenal.
Great coaches.
So,
and to their credit, both Brady and Purdy are guys that, you know, we're not going to be told that they couldn't do this.
Fair enough. So if you, knowing the draft the way you know it now, and you know the names that are up there, and you start with Ward and Sanders, and then obviously everybody else falls in line, Dart obviously is gaining a lot of traction, who would be, if you were making the call, who's the surest bet of this lot? Is it Cam Ward?
I'm not sold on any of these
really?
Guys.
Okay.
I mean, as a, I can't miss overall top talent. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's reasons for that, but I haven't met them. I haven't sat down with them. And that's a big part of making the ultimate judgment as to whether or not you think a guy is going to play. I'm telling you, Deshaun Watson was a different player in here than Patrick Mahomes was. And to me, Patrick Mahomes was head and shoulders above anybody we've ever had in here. Head and shoulders. And you could tell just by talking to him. I bet you that Shedeur Sanders has a little bit of that in him, meaning that he's expecting to be great and can handle the next level, which if you ask any coach in this league, just please give me a guy that can handle the pressure. Give me a guy that can process. Give me a guy that can move and not be overwhelmed if he gets knocked down three or four times. You know, Phil Simms told me a couple stories, obviously, of his time with Parcells, who coached him very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, Phil, if you're not out there throwing a couple interceptions today, that means you're not trying. And I want you to let it go. I want you to be fearless when you're on the field. I think Shedeur Sanders has that part of it. I really do. The question is, the college game is slower than the NFL game. You have to lead players to get them open. You have to anticipate throws. You have to be able to read defenses. I don't think that he's going to be, or any of these guys, including myself, when we come into the league, are really good at that. a lot of us would rely back on our athleticism to get us out of trouble. And then the next year you come back, you have a little bit better sense of what your responsibilities are, and then you could start, you know, anticipating. The Giants don't have time for that.
I know they don't. I know.
Which is why the Giants staff does not have time for
that. Which is why you want a capable veteran to come in and start until they're ready. And I guess that's why you want them really to start year two as opposed to right away.
Yeah,
some guys have done it well, but most don't.
And again, are these guys going to good teams where they can sit and learn and develop? Or are they going to go to teams? You know the Giant fan out here.
Oh, I know.
So let's just say it's Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And those guys go 2-4 in the first six games. What the hell do you think is going to happen?
We want Shador.
Right. And why? And I know the phone calls are all going to be, hey, you know what? Well, who cares? We're not going anywhere anyway. We might as well get him the experience.
Right, play the kid.
And then guess what? Coach, general manager, everybody gone.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they're coaching for their career, basically.
Exactly.
But I do think, though, when you look at, especially Sanders, and if he's got some time to sit at first, I do think it's a good spot for him. I think it would also re-energize a fan base that's dying for something.
Are these coaches, are this coaching staff and this offensive coordinator and this offensive staff, are they going to be here next year if they draft him?
Well, it depends on who starts week one. And I'm not saying start him. I'm saying whether you like him or not, at least Russell Wilson can play the position. I don't love Joe Flacco.
They all can play the position. I'm telling you, they all can. Now, if you told me that one of these guys are coming here, let's say Joe Flacco comes here.
Right.
And he gets hurt, which quite possibly could happen,
sure,
and most likely will happen, then that's the perfect spot for then putting the rookie in there.
And also it matters, too, what you see if you think he's ready. Because remember when they did it with Kurt Warner and Eli? Kurt Warner was not playing. He wasn't playing great. He was not playing badly. And I think, I don't remember, were they 5-4?
I thought they were 4-2 or something. I thought it was maybe it was 5-4.
They were over 500, though, when they made the change.
Yeah, and Kurt was disgusted.
Yes, he was floored by it. But I think they thought that Eli was ready at that point. I think that would be the same case with a kid like with Sanders, I think.
And then Kurt went to Arizona and took his team to the Super Bowl.
He did, yeah. That's true. He didn't win, but he did go to the Super Bowl.
You know, again, to me, it really comes down to, all right, so who's your veteran starting quarterback that if you do end up drafting one of these kids is going to be able to mentor them but also lead your team and try to win this year with that guy so maybe next year, if you did draft one of these young kids, they can end up taking over in that case. They're in a really bad spot in the most, you know, important position in the sport.